Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
That you can't, that if you have your hazard lights on while you're driving, you can, that traffic laws don't apply anymore. That is a myth.
Yeah.
But I have seen like three or four people in the last couple weeks in LA where I'm like, you just can't just put them on and do whatever. Yep.
I fire them up and I start in the I'll stop in the middle of the freeway to get some out of my trunk.
Like, right. if you could do that, everyone would just have them on ramming into each other. I had my lights on.
What kind of egregious hazard light use did you witness?
On the way here was what sparked it, where I was like, man, this is like something I've seen three or four. Just one of those Starline tour vans.
Uh-huh.
Dude, I watched him do it. He was in the far right lane right in front of me, and he just put on his hazards and then just went over and did a complete U-turn on Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, like that. It wasn't like, I'm going to pick up these passengers, double park or something. It's like, I'm using this to be like,
warning. That's
what I
thought. He was just
right.
He was just going to, you know, veer off to the right and be like, this is how you
cut
stop.
Cut across to the left?
Hey,
they're called hazards, man.
That's what he's like. I'm about to be a hazard.
This is hazardous, right.
Yeah. And the way, I mean, but there's like other people stopping and looking like I did, like, well, you can't even.
Right.
That's crazy.
Not even doing a hand out the window. That used to be the hazard sign.
He had this like look on his face, like, this is how driving happens.
Right.
Like, there was no concern.
Also, were there passengers in it?
I don't know. I couldn't see because I was just like, who is this man?
If that was my gig and I knew my company was insured on that shit, I would probably be like, man, fuck it, watch this. I'm not even fucking around. I'm just going to do this U-turn with the hazards on.
I mean, there was no emotion either way. It was just like, this is how my day goes.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was just, I went from being like, what in the to being like, all right, dude.
Yeah, right, that's next level bad driving when you can't even be mad. You're just like,
well, you're in awe.
I'm glad I got out of your way.
Amazing.
Yeah. He may be still doing it right now.
just doing donuts in the street.
He's like, someone's going to hit me. I was trying to get hit, but everyone just keeps respecting
me. I see that too when people go in their emergency lane, like to beat like morning rush hour traffic. Yeah. And I'm always like, please, dear God, if there's a good cop out there, let me see you pull this asshole over right now. Because there'll be people just, they throw the hazards on, they're flying down the emergency lane. You're like, that is not even, that doesn't even prepare somebody just because the lights are on. Because by virtue of what you're doing, just like busting U-turns from the far right lane.
It's just, you're just going to see somebody just like, bam.
Yeah.
And like, oh, there it goes. It's like the motorcycle guys. I respect, hate them.
Yeah.
Equally. Where I'm like, that's cool, but you're going to die.
Right.
And I'm okay with it.
You mean like when they're splitting lanes and stuff?
It's that risk reward that most of life is.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, good.
Right.
Yeah. What's the consequences? You're like, I'm going to get there 30 minutes early, but I could die.
Right.
Yeah. All it takes
I'm going to have fun doing it.
Yeah.
But if I don't have fun, I might be dead.
It just takes one stoner jamming too hard to Modest Yahoo to not notice you and just swipe you.
Yes.
And good night you.
It's impressive, though.
It is kind of impressive.
That's why I said I hate respect it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the. I
would do it.
Right.
I'm not.
Yeah, they did that. I'm not.
Too scared.
Too scared. Got kids to live for.
That is the. Yeah. There's the children thing now.
See, it's these damn kids. See, this is where you fucked up. I'm about to buy my motorcycle now.
Well, like the thing they say about motorcycles is that our brain, like, sometimes doesn't register them because our brain is just like the way it's built when we're out driving. We're just looking for
car
shaped things that are moving like cars. And so people will just drive like it's not there. And I feel like motorcycles. So, like, good motorcyclists recognize that and drive defensively about it.
Yeah.
And then bad motorcyclists are like, I'm going to take advantage of that. They don't see me. Bah!
Yeah,
I'm like,
right.
I'm behind you. Now I'm in front of you.
I mean, all it takes is you one time to almost kill a motorcyclist to forever be afraid of killing another motorcyclist as a driver.
Yeah. Oh, in San Francisco, it's insane. They're everywhere. And those hills and everything, you're like, what happens? Like, well, you get hit sometimes.
Yeah.
That's what all of them say.
Hey, man.
Sometimes you get hit.
What's something people think is true you know to be false?
So I had a couple ideas for this, and like the Netflix model is unsustainable, and Naomi's like, don't do that. Do something fun. So the myth that I'm going to dispel is
the Netflix model isn't unsustainable.
Mozzarella sticks are bad for you. That's the myth, and I'm going to say no. They're great for you.
Yeah.
Now, follow the logic on this. Have you guys ever been in a high-stress situation?
Yes.
Every day.
Okay. And how does your body feel in that high-stress situation?
I don't know. Garbage. I've never felt different.
So you, from the womb to the tomb.
Womb to the tomb, high-stress situation.
Presumably unpredictable.
Yeah.
So have you ever been in a more stressful situation?
Yes.
And how does your body feel then?
Very, very tight.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So a while ago, Naomi and I were in a working on a project that was... We were working with some terrible people.
Mm.
This is like
the Koch brothers, you can say.
Okay. I don't know why we decided to sell a TV show to the Koch brothers.
We were writing scripts for Prager University videos.
But it was all about how it was about a fracking team and how they're saving the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
They start fracking and like discover there's like a whole underground civilization that
the Frackles. Frackle Rock.
Come on,
it was right there in front of us the whole time. So it was about 6 years ago now. I got chest pains from this. Naomi got an ulcer from this
Jesus.
Thing. Yeah, it was not good. We were under so much stress. And what was the bright spot in our lives? Why the food we would eat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now I say this. When you are in a high stress situation, why not eat a mozzarella stick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
From where though?
Where are we now? In Los Angeles?
America.
I mean, like, but I'm just saying that like I can't dictate wherever you are where the best mozzarella stick is.
What was the one you were eating? I want to get like.
Well, that was New York then. I don't know exactly.
Call it out.
Here, House of Pies, surprisingly, the best mozzarella stick I've had in Los Angeles. Cosa Buona comes in second.
Cosa Buona.
Because they have a smoky mozzarella stick, but it's not, but it's like homemade. It's delicious, but it's when you want like a mozzarella stick, flour shell, deliciously fried.
Yeah.
House of Pies. Nothing else on their menu is great.
Right.
But their mozzarella sticks.
Brought to you by House of Pies. You know, that's what I think most doctors say. If you're having chest pains, have some mozzarella sticks.
I do think, though.
What's going on, Andy? Chest pains?
I mean, when people talk about.
I can't feel my arm, but I should have these mozzarella sticks with the other one.
When people talk about the placebo effect, they picture like sugar pills only. But I do feel, you know, the placebo effect basically means how you think you feel is like how your body is actually going to, you know, behave and medically exist. And I feel like, you know, eating comfort food sometimes is
healthy. There's nothing that, man, I know exactly what you mean. Stress eating and I will go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And also knowing there are certain things that you eat that make you feel really good.
Yeah.
I love a French dip sandwich.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's just how I self-medicate. With food.
With French dip. That seems very hoity-toity.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, you get a Philippe's, you can get, you know, there's a way to make it yourself where you just get the little packet and just make a weird one on your stove. Not that great.
French onion soup for me.
That's a part of the bourgeoisie over here.
Yeah, well, right? You know. Am I right?
Well, you know, when you'll see my ex-Mossad security guards beat the shit out of you if you're trying to get at me.
I was wondering if authenticity is becoming less of a thing in like modern hip hop and just modern culture in general, because we have like YouTube stars who are like the Paul brothers, who are just like bad.
They're just caricatures
WWE
of themselves.
WWE caricatures of like something, but like not actually believably authentic in any way.
Right. Well, but then I think, but really the artists that do really well are the actual artists,
right,
you know, who are really like, this is me, this is what I'm doing, this is how I'm choosing to express myself, no matter what the genre is.
Right.
And because I think there's a sincerity about someone really expressing themselves truly, that no matter what the beats are, the lyrics or the package, it just connects with people on a deeper level.
Right.
You know, I think that authenticity is a term that's thrown around a lot these days.
Right.
And look, I think that I am very authentic. I think I have a very authentic voice. I think that my memoir is very authentic, and anything that I do is authentic. So if people are going to be storytellers, and the claim is that they are telling their own story, right, as opposed to writing fiction,
right,
then I want authenticity.
Right. Right.
And I think that MCs would probably consider themselves storytellers. I think the best of them are. And herein, I also want authenticity. That's why I think I'm having an issue with saying, okay, you know, I'm down with this, or I do that, or, you know, going back to the guys I was telling you about in the industry who, you know, suddenly acted like they were, you know, so down.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, one of the most beautiful manifestations of authenticity in hip hop was Redman's episode of Cribs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this
legendary.
Is, you know, for that show, MTV Cribs, they used to rent houses for the rappers.
Right.
They used to rent cars for the rappers. So that's the furthest thing from authenticity, right? Mm-hmm. That's the opposite. And he so disrupted that.
Yeah.
He completely subverted that model.
He's like, let's
right?
hop over my
right, because right, because exactly. Here's a cereal box on top of my fridge that has the dollar bills in it.
Right.
And I think that's also speaks very much to his talent and his confidence, and knowing there's nothing that I could do or show you that's gonna ever shake who I am as Redman.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so the notion that there is a show based on luxury.
Right.
On aspirational living, and it's all about consumerism. That, too, is kind of offensive to me. I never fucking watch that show.
Right. Mm.
I never watched Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. I never watched any of those things that shoved in my face, wouldn't your life be amazing if it was this?
Right.
Because those are not the things that define happiness.
Yeah, they're all external.
That's right. They're completely external. And look, I would love a nice big fat crib. I'd love to fucking fly private and all that. I would love that. But I'm not on the paper chase.
Right.
So the fact that there was so much programming, I don't know if there is anymore. I don't really watch television like that. But the fact that there was so much programming around wanting to be wealthy and live in luxury, I think is kind of gross, to the point that you fake it. Again, it's faking
right?
Rent this house. Which house do you want? I want the one with the fucking big ass, you know, I want the one with the big ass aquarium, and it's got to have the, you know,
like
the staircase.
Nelly, that house. I remember that one. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
He had an obscene aquarium.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, just all of those markers of success which are firmly based in capitalism.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Right? Which kind of goes back to the conversation about billionaires. Like, right. capitalism, my girlfriend Treva Lindsay said, capitalism makes this shit hard, Soph.
Yeah.
It makes it hard.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it just necessarily, if you think about it, it necessarily compromises everything we do. I own a home.
Exactly right.
Right. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I think it's funny too, as you say, like, they need to sell a mirage of aspirational wealth and mm-hmm. things like that, because to really inoculate people or get people to buy into that thinking is precisely the kinds of shit you see in the form of like centrism, where really evaluating what the issues are and if there is a class of wealth in this country that is actually working against everything, and a lot of systemic issues are coming from this mentality of like consume, consolidate, gather as much as possible, to the detriment of others. You like, that's sort of how these programs function, because it's sort of like this thing in the back of your mind. It's like, well, should I be mad at millionaires? Because like, what if I'm a millionaire? You know what I mean? Right. Like, that would be sick.
Right.
So maybe I should go easy on them, because that could be me. You know what I mean? Like, there's that subtle, it works on your subconscious. Because for me, as a fucking, 14-year-old, probably watching Cribs at the time, 15, I fully bought into that shit.
Found it completely seductive. Of course, how could you not?
Over.
And most people would. Absolutely.
I went to the back of the Source magazine and ordered fake canary yellow diamond earrings and shit. I wanted to fucking show out, because in my mind, that really was, I had a very one-dimensional idea of what success or happiness was, and it was purely
get shit. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's where we live. We live in America.
Right.
Right. I love fancy things. I wear a Gucci hat. I buy Prada shoes. You know, I absolutely am part of this system. There's mm-hmm. no doubt in my mind. You know, the other thing I think about you guys in terms of authenticity is that, you know, I came up in an era where there was no social media.
Right.
Okay? And so I think, is it safe to say that Instagram is probably the most robust platform for artists?
Definitely
more so than Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah.
It depends on where you're at. But yeah, Instagram for sure is, yeah.
Right? So let's say I have 1, 2, 3, 5, 10 million followers, and it's all about pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's all about what I wear, where I live, what I drive, whom I'm fucking, what I'm eating, what I'm drinking. I mean, I cannot imagine, you guys, how onerous it is to sustain this big willy. Back in the day, we used to say big willy, this big willy lifestyle.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, so what if you walk down the street and you just want to, like, you're not wearing whatever the fuck, or whatever the brands are, or whatever the sneakers are and stuff like that, you know? I never want to be in a position where I'm going to be embarrassed. I take Uber pools.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm a fucking immigrant. When I look at the $4 price difference, I'm like,
fuck that.
I could afford the $4, but I can't.
Yeah,
constitutionally, as an immigrant, I can't.
You hear a voice in your head being like, really?
Yeah, my mother. Yeah, it's my mother going, why don't you take the subway, right? And I'm like, I'm treating myself to a pool. But just the notion of, you know, going back to authenticity, a lot of that too, I think, is not necessarily authentic, because I think a lot of the artists out there are spending their money on these things that present a lifestyle, but then, do you own a home?
Right.
Do you have a trust for your children?
Right.
Right.
Where is your money parked?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you might not go into the stock market or whatever, but is it somewhere? Because some of these guys, millions of dollars will go through their hands and leave their hands.
Right.
And that's okay. Look, if I was a 19-year-old kid, I'd spend the shit out of my money. I would be off the chains. I would be off the rails. I would be foolish, right? But the notion that I now, oh, fuck you guys, I got to pose. Hang on, I got to go buy these shoes. Hang on, I got to go do that. I got to go do that. That's a lot.
I got to pose by this, like, villa.
Right. Yeah, I've got to be in a G5.
Well, yeah.
I got to pretend my friends from TV are also my friends in reality.
Oh,
Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's why I think the Instagram is it's the perfect sales tool, because it sells people on seemingly authentic versions of life, because people, it's like, well, a person posted that, not person with a stylist, fucking whole marketing plan.
And lighting.
Lighting. Right. Who has someone probably editing the photo itself.
Absolutely.
Who probably has deals going with brands to figure out, like, okay, well, here's a deal. We'll get you to this location and then do subtle things. And that kind of helps, you know, create this thing of longing through your your phone screen.
Yeah, and it's even worse for women.
Right.
Right? So, okay, take that picture, but get rid of all my age spots, you guys. Get rid of the bags under my eyes and get rid of the wrinkles and everything, and I'm going to get surgery and I'm going to do all this and I'm going to, you know, my tits are going to be bigger, my waist is going to be smaller, my ass is going to be bigger. And no shade to anybody that does this. I'm that's not what I'm saying. But we are living in a time where we can actually buy a certain kind of beauty, right? So if we have the means and we're all going towards, frankly, what I think is a very a narrow, right, definition of beauty, well, first of all, we're going to become more homogenous, which I never like, right? And then what does it mean for me raising a daughter who is a yellow girl, again, in a white world, right, who does not fit into this paradigm of beauty? How do I tell her if she says to me, and she never would, but if she said to me, mommy, I want to get a this job or a that job or whatever, you know, the things that we have to battle. And so to be a famous woman too, like, nobody gives a fuck what a man eats. Okay? Nobody gives a fuck. But if somebody sees an actress, let's say she's a thin actress and she's eating a cheeseburger and like, what, that's a fucking story now? Like, who gives a fuck?
Whoa, she's brave.
Yeah. Exactly.
She's brave for eating what she wants.
Exactly.
It's like, we're fucking human beings. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man. It's, and I think also, like, growing up in LA, man, I see how quickly people's shit gets poisoned by this, like, performative.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Like, wealth shit. And it's, it's,
and the beauty shit too, right? Like, if I'm going to go out and I'm going to be on the red carpet, you know what? Sophia's not quite pretty. You know what? I think I have to upgrade from Sophia.
Right.
Yeah. I've got to get somebody who's younger and thinner.
Yeah. They're like, oh, well, like, I can't pull up to a party with you because you're a college student.
That's right. And so I can't pull up in this car either.
Yeah, exactly. Like, okay, what, you going to park your Prelude around the corner?
Right.
Yeah. We'll act like our limo broke down? Okay. Let me tell you something. That Prelude fucking goes, ma.
I ride a city bike in New York. So. Yeah. And I take Uber pools.
There you go. I mean, but that's the thing. Like, right, I think it's about people being able to realign what makes them happy or redefine what makes them happy. I think because we have the, because consumer culture makes us think, when I attain X, then I will be happy.
That's right.
Not, I will be happy.
Right.
Right.
Then I can attain whatever.
Right. And those things have to be the gravy, not the meat.
Mm-hmm,
right? Like my ex, and I talk about this in my memoir, is a 34th generation Shaolin monk. And when we started seeing each other, I was a stylist and he started wearing Prada Sport and stuff like that. And he looked really great. And I remember people looking askance at him. And they're like, oh, I didn't know that Buddhist monks could wear Prada. Like, you know what, suck a dick, homie, because it's not about him wearing the Prada. It's about him being attached to it. And he would never be attached to it.
Right.
Right? He fucking slept on a concrete floor for like 25. I don't think he's going to care if he can't wear a fucking Prada jacket tomorrow.
Yeah. It's like not having running water. We'll kind of do that to you.
Exactly. So the notion, it's not about having it. For me, it's about I have to actively exercise not being attached to it. And I think that what's really, really important for us spiritually and just for our soul and our internal happiness is to not let the external world define it. Am I happy if I buy a new pair of shoes? Sure I am. But does that define my happiness or define me? Of course it doesn't.
Right. Because if the shoes are taken away and it fucks you up, then
that's exactly it.
Happens when I say, it's the same thing with praise, right? Of getting too attached to people's praise. Yeah. It's like, yes, that can feel good. But if that becomes your be all end all, what do you do when that you no longer hear that?
Right.
Yeah. It's like enough. It's a good reminder, but I don't need that. I don't feed off. That's not my fucking oxygen.
Exactly. Right. You have to have your internal barometer and your internal compass have to be so fucking solid. And then all of it is like, you take it and it comes and it goes and it's fine.
Smooth like water, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like Bruce Lee. Be like water, my friend.
All right. We're going to take a quick break.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring the Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. Let's talk about LeBron James. This upset me more than I, more than it should have, more than I care to admit.
Yeah. So look, the NBA and pretty much any company doing business with China that's an American-based company is going through a bit of a time now where people right. have to be like, should we talk out loud in favor of people who are being oppressed by this autocratic regime? I don't know. Or do right. we like money better?
Right.
And the NBA saga unfolded when Daryl Morey from the Rockets tweeted out an image in solidarity of the Hong Kong protests.
Woo!
And then
and
so
was
that caused
fired.
Dude, then... caused a massive profits fire. Like yeah. Leaning Sportswear ended their deal with the Rockets. Tencent, like every company, a lot of companies are doing business with the NBA. Are like, we're done.
James Harden and Russell Westbrook in the immediate aftermath were like, we love China.
China's the best. China's actually really tight to me.
We love our fans there. Super tight.
We love authoritarian really communism yeah. right. slash capitalism.
So sick, though. Whatever.
I guess I'm more, I was more willing to forgive that because it was the day after and they were clearly like had a gun to their head. Whereas this is like...
Yeah, well, I think...
A week and a half later, LeBron James...
He has to say something. I'm sure he was probably asked. I'm right. sure that's how it all happened. And his answer... Anyway, he just has this quote. He said, I don't want to get into a verbal feud with Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand.
And he spoke.
That's... Wow. And so many people could have been harmed, not only financially,
huh.
physically, emotionally, spiritually. So just be careful what we tweet and say and we do, even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech, but there can be a lot of negative that comes with that, too.
I mean, unless we play in China, then we don't.
Right. I'm just, what?
Have freedom of speech.
What is he, I don't understand that he wasn't educated on the situation. What is he misinformed by?
I was confused. What did LeBron James think that Daryl Morey didn't know when he tweeted support for the people in Hong Kong who are being like riot policed to
I think I don't know. The
maybe
cynical
didn't understand
version.
The whole like the law, like what was going on with the is it extradition? I forget the exact.
Sure. The like law, what where, the reason why
the rendition?
People were
maybe he didn't
protesting.
Understand that whole thing.
I think I think really what it says, the translation might be talking about China can fuck up everyone's money. We aren't right. willing to confront their transgressions because it would risk our revenues. So we have chosen to ignore this because money is more important.
Yeah,
I think is what he meant.
Right.
Straight up. See, guys.
It's a
class warfare.
Yeah, no, but again, you know, and it's a very odd. It was a weird thing to say, and I can only imagine the league's biggest star probably has to send up a flare to Chinese business interests to say like I am still in line with whatever y'all are trying to do.
But even the NBA, after they initially issued a statement that was like kind of in this direction, that was sort of like, well, you know. There's multiple sides to everything. Adam Silver came out and was, you know, made a statement that was definitely picking the side of, you know, freedom of speech and pissing China off. So, like, it's not like Adam Silver was behind him being like, say this or else.
Yeah, no.
It was all about not fucking up his money. It was like he's about progressive values until it becomes uncomfortable.
It's a little, it's a little sad to see. Because on one hand, I can understand privately if he's what he's saying is to someone else. He goes, man, Daryl should have known. He's like, we're in bed with China. That's like a third rail topic. Like, you only talk about the business and that. Don't talk about anything about what their government does or anything to do with their domestic reform policy.
You can talk about the Meg and other international co-productions.
Right. And
that's
how
it.
And how sick leaning footwear is.
Right.
But like that's where I wish he would have just not said anything at all. Because I can stomach him just being, you know, about his money and not really trying to act like he's some kind of savior type person.
Right.
But it's drawn a lot of criticism. Him saying this has drawn a lot of criticism. Muhammad Ali's wife was like, Muhammad Ali wouldn't have done that.
And he wouldn't have.
No, he wouldn't have.
But I do think it's sometimes important to remember, like, you shouldn't have your hopes, like, pinned on. Like, I don't watch athlete interviews after the game for a reason. Like, they are always boring as fuck.
Yeah, and like,
they don't have interesting
performances.
Insight.
Right.
I just want to thank God.
Right.
Uh-huh. And I want to thank
Leaning Sportswear.
Jesus.
Right. Yep.
I want to thank the Holy
Ghost.
I'm
sorry, I misspoke. Not Jesus. Xi Jinping. Xi Jinping. I'm sorry. Xi Jin Christ.
Yeah, but Ali, Kaepernick, like you can't really count that many athletes who were like important. You know, O.J. Simpson on Twitter was great. Tom
Wait,
Brady.
Sorry, hold on.
Obviously, you know the greats.
What did O.J. say?
Oh my God, he's just
too much.
He's incredible on Twitter.
I love China makes some great knives.
Right. There you go.
Well, I think that's the whole deal, right? Is certain people in your activism. If you're really about your activism, you will follow that path wherever it leads you. It's
right.
not for the faint of heart.
Right.
And I think that's what we see is at the end of the day, LeBron James is a capitalist.
Right.
That's his prerogative as
I mean,
a
this is what
person.
Michael Jordan probably would have done or said.
Dude, like, yeah. He would have been like, fuck them protesters.
Right.
Like, probably.
Exactly. I mean, he's...
Was that your Michael Jordan impression?
No, well, just no. I don't think there's a way to properly do Michael Jordan.
Right.
But
he did say,
I can't
fuck
even imagine
kids.
What his
he
voice
said,
sounds like
kids.
Now.
Yeah, he's not a very kind guy. But, right. like, you know, for example, you know, Enes Kanter, who's a Turkish player, he tweeted out basically... After this came out, he said, Enes Kanter is basically cannot go back to Turkey.
Right. Erdogan wants him dead.
Yeah. And Enes Kanter has been outspoken and a very big critic of Erdogan. And so that comes with consequences. And he tweeted, haven't seen or talked to my family 5 years. Jailed my dad. My siblings can't find jobs. Revoked my passport. International arrest warrant. My family can't leave the country. Got death threats every day. Got attacked, harassed, tried to kidnap me in Indonesia. Freedom is not free.
Yeah.
And I think that sort of realigning the stakes for people here, it's like this isn't just it's not just like was it Yanni or Laurel?
Right.
It's like fucking real shit here.
Right.
It's not like, oh yeah, I'm either cool with this. Or no, actually, this is actually, I cannot abide by this.
It just depends on your point of view.
Yeah.
And like,
and again,
you should have taken other people's point of views into account.
Take the middle road like most people and just don't say anything at all.
Right.
You know, but if you're going to, don't speak,
do this,
speak on the right side, please.
Yes.
By the way, has anyone ever done an Erdogan/and one mashup?
Ooh.
Erdogan mixtape?
Yeah. Because I would love to see that.
Hell yeah.
I mean, his crossover was nasty. Right. I saw him fucking spin hot sauce in half.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
That Asian men aren't sexy.
Okay. Okay.
I don't have a problem if you have a preference. I totally get that. We all have preferences. But when people make the blanket statement.
Right. Speaking that, absolutes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody, you know, nobody finds Asian men sexy. I want to slap the shit out of them.
Yeah.
Because you are effectively erasing a whole gender of a whole race. And I've been thinking about this a lot, you guys, in terms of my memoir,
mm-hmm.
Visibility and Erasure.
Right.
Mm.
And black women too, erased.
Right.
Me too, erased. Mm. Right. And how we actively have to ourselves unerase ourselves and give ourselves the visibility, which isn't fair. We shouldn't have to do that. We should just have it. Right. Right. But we don't. So we have to fight for that. So, you know, the notion, I mean, the father of my two children is a 34th generation Shaolin monk who could kill you with his bare hands in 30 seconds. But there are a myriad other incredibly sexy men. Bruce Lee, God rest his soul, Chow Yun Fat, Tony Leung, I mean, Jake Choi. It's just to the way that the West has systematically emasculated and castrated my brothers while simultaneously exoticizing, eroticizing, and fetishizing me is infuriating.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You fell in love with Chow Yun Fat because of who?
So I grew up yellow in a white world.
Right.
And yellow wanting to be white in a white world. Sure. And then I heard hip hop, then I moved to New York, and then I meet Wu-Tang, and, you know, they're talking about, you know, Ray, you know, there's that great skit on 36 Chambers where Ray is saying, you know, meth, where's my killer tape? Where's my killer tape? And I was like, oh, okay, you know what? I'm going to pay attention to this, because they were so deeply respectful of Asian culture in general, but they love John Woo. So I watched The Killer and I watched Hard Boiled, and I went down the John Woo rabbit hole and I watched all of his movies. I still have the laser discs. I watched all of his movies.
I actually still have laser.
Google it.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I've seen The Killer. It's my favorite movie of all time. Chow Yun Fat is his muse in the same way that De Niro is Scorsese's muse. And to me, John Woo was the greatest director of all time, and Chow Yun Fat is the greatest actor of all time. And I think that what Asian action movies manage to do that I don't know that Western ones are able to do is infuse philosophy. And maybe that comes from the martial arts tradition, right? Because in the martial arts movies, you have action, but you always have philosophy, whether it's Buddhism or Taoism or, you know, a form of Confucianism. And so a perfect example, I'll tell you, there's a movie called The Departed, right? And it was huge. It won the Academy Award that year. That movie was a remake of a Hong Kong movie called Infernal Affairs.
Right.
And it was directed by Andy Lau, I believe. Now, if you watch The Departed, it was my favorite movie of that year. If you watch The Departed and then you watch Infernal Affairs, you can see that The Departed had to have a Hollywood ending.
Right.
In a way that Infernal Affairs did not feel beholden to make, you know, it's going to be okay.
Yeah, right.
The bad guy's going to get it. And the conflict, and there were great actors in The Departed. Yeah. And he's an amazing director. But the conflict that was demonstrated in Infernal Affairs made that movie so much more touching and compelling, emotionally compelling for me.
Yeah. Does it end with a rat coming in and winking at the camera? Or it doesn't? Fuck.
That should be the alternate ending. It might be on the Laserdisc version.
Yeah, flip your Laserdisc over. See.
A, B.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we have to get to the story of Robert Downey Jr.'s return to the big screen, silver screen.
Tentpole movies.
Post-MCU.
Gritty remake.
Robert Downey Jr. is Doolittle.
Wow.
Is this like Joker?
So this is like Joker. It's equally anticipated. Also, won the award for top film at the Venice Film Festival when it premiered there.
Doolittle?
Yeah, Doolittle.
People
no,
were sobbing in the audience.
So this movie, I think, technically is the opposite of those attributes in that it was set for a to be released last spring and has instead been held for January, which is generally like studio dumping ground where they just drop all the...
I mean, it's a kid's movie, right?
So
I don't know. You saw the
trailer.
It looks
like a kid's movie. I mean, it is a kid's movie because Dr. Doolittle lives in an enchanted castle where he has a toy train running through it for some reason.
Like a weird F.A.O. Schwartz on mushrooms?
Yeah.
Like toys.
The Robin Williams movie? Love it.
But it's...
And Joan Cusack.
So one sign that we're in on shaky ground is that Robert Downey Jr., in order to keep himself focused, attempted a Welsh accent.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Oh, Welsh accent?
He literally said he's doing it as a fun challenge for himself.
What's a Welsh accent?
So it is Christian Bale's accent, which if you've ever listened to Christian Bale in interviews... Sometimes he sounds like he has an accent. Sometimes he doesn't. It's like, why does Christian Bale have a fake accent? He doesn't. Yeah. He has a Welsh accent, which even Welsh people are like, it's really a weird accent.
Or depending on where you are, you can differ. I mean, Catherine Zeta-Jones is also Welsh.
Right.
And you're like, it's like vaguely English.
Right.
But
so like Madonna.
Yeah. Right. Like Lindsay Lohan.
Well, like the other time that somebody tried to do a really difficult accent, Leonardo DiCaprio did a Blood South Diamond. African accent in Blood Diamond. And everyone was like, that's the worst accent work ever. But then some South African people were like, no, it's actually really good. But we just have a weird accent that like on some words, it sounds like you forgot to do the accent. And on other words, it sounds like you have a thick accent.
I remember my first trumpet teacher when I was taking lessons as a kid who like worked at my school, his wife was South African. And when she spoke, I was like, as a kid, I didn't know what the accent was. And I thought, I was like, it sounds like she's from Texas mixed with England.
Right.
Is what my first description of a South African accent.
Yeah. Anyways, this movie is...
It's garbage. It looks like absolute trash. The trailer looks like absolute trash.
Right.
But it's not for you. It's for children.
Okay, but it's very serious.
Are you guys big Doolittle heads? Is that what happens?
It has a very serious vibe to it. Like, it starts with, like, really dramatic, like, sweeping shots and...
Yeah, dramatic like, Louis Armstrong, It's a Wonderful World is not...
It all worked.
That's when you know a movie's going to be terrible.
That was like, terrible attempt. My first
attempt. Trying to do sense mode. Hey guys, it's me.
But it's not that song in its normal presentation. It is the like echoey version where it's like
the Facebook movie, whatever that was called, Social Network.
Yes.
Right. You know, there were so many things in it that were very odd. I just can't stand the polar bear wearing a knit cap.
Why? What's
I don't
wrong
know.
With that?
That's fucking dumb. Fucking stupid.
Are you guys angry that it includes animals that will be extinct within our lifetime?
Here's what I'm angry about. It cost $175 million to make.
Jesus.
They spent a Marvel movie's worth of budget on this movie.
It's like you guys don't live in Los Angeles.
I live in the Valley.
It's made by the guy who wrote and directed Syriana. And who wrote Traffic? Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And he had to be replaced halfway through because apparently he was...
The animals were attacking Dr. Doolittle and killing him.
I hear David Simon wrote the original script.
Yeah, a lot of the imagery... I mean, it's one of those things. It's a hard needle to thread with Dr. Doolittle movies, I feel like, because it has to almost be fully cartoonish for it to not... like sort of start veering into the absolutely absurd.
I think that's what we're responding to is it's like if you made Flipper a
dramatic
film where like Flipper was a trained assassin. Like that's what this trailer feels like.
Imagine Red Sparrow mixed with Flipper.
Right, exactly. It's just
Red Tide.
Yeah.
That's actually, I mean, there was a time when the CIA was trying to do that. Not the CIA. It was like
the Russian intelligence.
There was some intelligence agency that was trying to train dolphins to do.
I think the Germans, I think everybody was Basically, yeah. Like, I don't know, fucking get these sea dogs to do shit.
We have billions of dollars. We might as well do whatever the fuck we want.
They tried to do it with cats. It was called Operation Acoustic Kitty, and it did not go well.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, to do what?
It was scratch some, I think they were bomb-carrying cats, but
oh my God. Already.
There's a reason they were cat spies. They were cats with recording devices hooked up.
Oh, got it.
And that's why it was Acoustic Kitty, and there's a reason that herding cats is something that's a saying for something that's impossible.
Oh, well, I mean, they should have just got Dr. Doolittle because he could have just had the cats back and say, what did you hear?
Oh my God, right. There's your gritty remake of Doolittle where he's trained, he's right. Getting animals to
that
do black
so much
ops.
Sense.
Right, right, right.
That would actually be interesting to see Doolittle in the modern world, but this is just like Doolittle in Pirates of the Caribbean.
It's like vaguely Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah, that would be great. Like a series of Homeland
right.
type shit,
like,
but
gritty,
Doolittle.
Doolittle, yes.
Right.
Thank you.
What's the Disney? Is that the, who's,
so
who's,
in
who,
conclusion,
who has
Disney,
the rights to this?
Disney. You should
contact
pay us.
Me.
Yeah.
Yes. This is the second winner of a movie idea that we've come up with in the past three episodes.
It's a free punch up.
Yeah. The Nightmare on Elm Street, but it's people who get too high is the other
right.
really
and
good
then
idea.
Their panic brings on Freddy Krueger to fuck
right.
them up.
So it's like how high plus.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, too high.
Yeah.
How high. All right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. Well, as much as I'd like to continue discussing the only news story we should care about, the impending doom of our Earth. It's time we talk about the fact that people could be putting weed in your kids' Halloween candy.
Oh, God, no!
Happy Halloween!
The Johnstown Police Department in Pennsylvania are back at it again. In my mind, I believe we've talked about this department before when they were asking people to volunteer get drunk for a study. But either way, they're active on Facebook.
Are they just doing like viral stunts?
I don't know. Could you? Oh, that's probably where we're headed.
Oh,
police department doing viral content.
I don't know what they get out of it, but like the the head of social media for their police department is like,
you know,
gets promoted.
A few viral stunts or like proposal videos can paper over a shooting.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like, well, what
it's
about
like
that white
10
cop?
To 1.
What about the white cop that you know hit them folks at that barbecue? You know what I mean?
Right.
The dance.
Yeah. Yes.
Not literally hitting somebody. Mm-hmm. The dance move. You never seen an undercover Millie Rock?
Yeah, that shit was hilarious.
And then kiss a dog. All is over. Nothing. They just shot a woman fucking in her own home in Fort Worth through a fucking window.
Jesus Christ.
But upload that video of the police department doing the Harlem Shake.
Right.
And all be forgotten.
To be fair, I do think that cops don't have problems going viral right now, just not for the reasons they would probably like.
Yeah,
right. Possibly. I mean, maybe that's the idea is that they're...
thank you.
That's a straight up for you. The... yeah, I could totally see the meeting where they come up with that strategy of like, we got to combat all this negative social media publicity that we're getting out there. Come on, pitch me ideas, guys.
Yeah.
Cops can be fun.
Yeah. Cops can be fun.
This cop was a former breakdancer? Well, I wouldn't have known in that
people
uniform.
Need to remember that we are out there protecting their children. What's a story that we could tell about that? Oh,
what about that child that was shot because they thought he had a gun? Oh,
The remember how we used to be afraid that people would put razor blades in our candy?
Yep. Boom.
Yeah.
Here we go.
There it is. How would that even work?
Okay.
You bite into a candy bar.
I think you push the razor blade into the flesh of the apple, and then the caramel covers over the actual point of insertion.
I eat apples also, just like candy bars, with my teeth.
What are you talking about?
The most impervious, mouth bones.
Yeah, but
your
if you took a full
get in part, there.
Right.
If you took a full-on bite, though, and there was a razor blade in there, shit would cut your mouth in half.
Yeah, it's maybe unpleasant.
It's just not the most efficient way to do harm via Halloween candy.
Sure.
This, on the other hand,
apparently is, according to the Johnstown Police Department, they have this whole Facebook post says, "Attention! The Johnstown Police would like to draw extra attention to the Nerds Rope edibles containing 400 milligrams of THC.
Nerds Ropes are so good.
I know, Nerds Ropes are one
amazing.
The goat fucking movie candy. Foundering a search warrant in Stony Creek. It says, okay, during this Halloween, we urge parents to be ever vigilant in checking their children's candy before allowing them to consume those treats. Drug-laced edibles are packaged like regular candy and may be hard to distinguish from real candy. Okay, now, it looks like maybe if you're just like the dude who's making your own wild edibles, you sell them like this to avoid detection from the police. Not because you have a scheme where you're throwing thousands of dollars away to play a sick-ass prank on the kids of this town.
I want to bankrupt myself by getting a bunch of 6-year-olds high.
It's a really good use of my money.
I'm going to give away all of the weed that I bought to sell.
Just to get a bunch of kids
to make their Halloween extra spooky.
I mean, you should obviously check your kids' candy. I think that's all fair. But I don't know if this is like, they're like, what? Kiva mints? Are those for kids?
I mean, I'll personally be giving away Jewel pods at my house for this trick-or-treat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shit.
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
first.
Dude. I just want to be cool with the kids,
man. Nah, for me, it's to be cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And some Fortnite stuff.
That's right.
But in the long run, it might be just as bad as putting razor blades in an apple.
Whoa.
Fiberglass.
Truth
lungs.
Campaign.
Dang. Yeah. You're giving them fucking Dejarum clove cigarettes?
Yeah.
Oh, my
Don't
God.
Don't do that.
Wait, what did those really, like, what did those do? I mean,
remember
other
had
than
that
taste
myth?
Delicious.
I remember the myth was...
That they would, like...
They would, like, fiberglass
in your lungs, yeah.
Fiberglass, yeah.
Because that's why they hit so smooth, dude.
Oh, yeah.
That was, like, the thing. That's why they hit so smooth, dude, because of fucking fiberglass.
Is 400 milligrams of THC a strong edible?
A lot?
That seems like a lot.
That's... Yes. DJ Daniel's
headbanging. DJ Daniel is headbanging a
yes. too much.
That is too much, kids. Too
in
much
one
for
go?
A elementary school age.
Yo,
child.
You're a few.
Especially on Halloween, because shit is like spooky.
You do like maybe 15, 20. to go to sleep nice.
Would 400 kill you?
I don't know if they've, I mean, I don't think they found a lethal dose of THC, that there's such a thing.
I don't know. I think I found mine. And
like most people are like, I don't know, dude. I died in this IPIC theater.
I'm right now, I'm in my afterlife. This is all a dream.
This would make sense. Like, this is perjury.
Yeah.
You're like or anxiety. Purgatory.
It's also perjury. Perjury.
Your anxiety attack can kill you Freddy Krueger style. Like, just because you believe you're dead.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's the new Freddy Krueger movie. Happening. Yeah.
That's people incredible. With edibles.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's a really good idea.
Freddy Krueger attacks people who are too high.
That is my nightmare, though.
Dude, my dog. Dude, it feels like my chest is getting stabbed.
Yes, you're dying.
It's like, you are a motherfucker. It's like, you do this every time, Emily.
That sounds so good.
You had one CBD drink. I don't know.
What is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Today, I was writing with a friend of mine today, and I could not remember the answer to this, so I was Googling queen who fucked horses.
Yes.
You talked about
today.
Catherine the Great.
Catherine the Great reference. Yeah,
that's
today.
Weird.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, so we're in sync.
Synchronicity in the house tonight.
And that name came to my mind much easier than it should have, so I think we were like pulling from the same
Google and it all happened share. When we were riffing about like hot posters we would have had as kids. I'm like, anybody have a Daisy Fuentes? And then I went back like, Twiggy?
Benny Page? Catherine the Great.
He's like, Catherine the Great. I'm like, okay. Wait, does she have sex with a horse?
No, nah, just
that's just the rumor.
It's how like Napoleon. The worst they could come up with about him was that he was short,
right?
And then stuck.
And that's how they
Catherine the Great.
Catherine the Great.
So that she fucked horses.
A horse,
which is a little uneven. If you ask me.
I've seen that video with Kenny Pignon.
Yeah, but it's just like that's how sensitive men are. You know,
exactly.
They're just like,
oh yeah. Well,
one thing we know will piss him off is if you ignore that he is of average height.
Yeah, exactly.
Height and analysts. We are on fire.
This is when Mike Tyson wants a high C.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.